It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, the day after the election. It is the seventh day of November, 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you would like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the hours in which this program is live. If you go to HeadOn.live and if you click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, I can guarantee you, you will immediately be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Heather and VT Blom and more as they wander in. And capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I probably sound a little perkier than I feel. No, I'm perky. I'm okay. I hope you're okay. I guess we'll be deconstructing the election this evening, because that's what you do on the day after the election. It's also, I should note, prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Mm-hmm. And we have thanks to send out. We always send out thanks to our subscribers at the beginning of the program. Thank you very kindly to Dr. Allen in Texas. And thank you very kindly as well to our buddy Reed. Thank you, Reed, and thank you, Dr. Allen. Those are our subscribers for the seventh day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber on the seventh day of the month, run right over to HeadOn.live, click on the PayPal button, and maybe kick in for a $10 a month subscription. You'll be setting yourself back all of about a 20th of a cup of corporate coffee by doing that per hour of program. So it's still one of the biggest bargains in broadcasting period, but certainly in progressive broadcasting. Okay, as far as our fundraising goals are concerned, thanks very kindly go out to Samson, who earlier this afternoon made life considerably better than what it would have been otherwise. Samson kicked in $50 for Scott Walker's loss last night. Yes, and wasn't it delightful? Bye, Scott. Goodbye. 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 Thank you, Samson. Thank you very kindly. That means that instead of having a $448 fundraising goal, it's only $398. And that's tremendously helpful. So, you know, 10 people at $39.80. Or one at $398. Oh, Jesus, what's $398 by two? Let's see, that's $150, $195. Yeah, $199. Sorry, ciphering in the head. Yeah, two at $199. Oh, Jesus, let's don't do the four part. Anyway, we just need to raise $398 this evening, and that way there can be some bills paid and a little bit of the stress that goes with running a progressive radio operation on the last frayed shoestring of a dry-rotted sneaker. Yes. You get the idea. But, like I said, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. So I love to tell you about what went on in the fellowship hall and what got cooked up in the fellowship hall kitchen by the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men out by the grill. It just worked out that way. Elections are on Tuesday, and Tuesdays precede Wednesdays. And daggummit, the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men, well, I think they got into the cooking sherry last night. That or they stayed up late watching the returns, the horse race returns. And I got to tell you, I saw more than a few little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men looking right bleary. So they looked at me and said, "Bob," and I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Brother Bob, we want you to go out and get a whole big passel of gas station pizzas and just leave them on the table there. Let the deacons pick over them, and get about a dozen boxes of Twinkies for dessert." And I knew then that the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men were not feeling entirely up to snuff. So they did. I did. And, the deacons will eat anything. They really will. It's when you got deacons, it's a lot like having goats. Anything you put in front of them, they will consume. And that's just how that's how that works out. Not a lot to hoot and holler about as far as the fellowship hall is concerned. Hey, glory. Hey, thank you very kindly. A note just came in from Darlene in Connecticut. There's a $100 challenge on the table to knock down some of that $398. So let's say, could we do that maybe in the next hour or so? Knock down half of the fundraising goal? It'd be more than half. So if we got 10 folks at $10 or a few new subscribers or, gosh, any way we can put it together, but there's a $100 challenge on the table courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut. Please, please don't let that go. Don't let that go to waste. And I will report as it arrives. I had a note courtesy of Ron in Raleigh. To begin the program, one day's respite. Ron writes, "Though things didn't go as we wished, some things are better. Here, behind the pulled pork curtain in North Carolina, stand the filthy Republican legislature, Republican legislature, no longer has a supermajority. So, if they want to continue their bullshit agenda, they're going to have to convince some Democrats to go along. After the way they've thrown their weight around since 2010, they can forget that shit. The fact that Beto and Andrew and Stacy did not prevail, well, we did get rid of some of the slimiest right-wing jagoffs and put the rest of them in the minority. Let's see how they like sitting down and shutting the fuck up during some very interesting hearings. The Marmalade Mugabe was acting as pissy as his hair color at his news conference today. It seems the press are no longer afraid of him. Jim Acosta pretty much called bullshit on his petulant ass. I hope this is the beginning of a new attitude toward this asshole. I do too. And there's a lot to go into here. I know our good friend Steve from New York was pretty well disgusted with the outcome. And I'll go there in a minute. Randy in PA says it wasn't a blue wave. And now we will have endless investigations to clog up the news that have no consequences. The investigations need to happen. And must happen, in fact. You know how I know that the investigations must happen? Well, one of the outcomes of last night is that I get to go back to wholeheartedly despising Joe Manchin. And in an effort to make sure that we all understood that we could go back to despising Joe Manchin, Joe Manchin appeared on the statewide radio call-in program today that's owned by a right-wing corporation and hosted by a maggot. Previously, he was a teabagger, but he's, you know, what he is mostly is a wholly owned meat sack subsidiary of the West Virginia coal industry. And Joe, we had to run over to Summersville today. Had to pick up meds. That's always terrifying. At the pharmacy, and so on the way, I had no idea it was going to happen, but I tuned in local AM radio out of Charleston, and there he was, Joe Manchin, the man who spat on every female in the state of West Virginia when he voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. And now Joe is a member of the Senate. He's got a D after his name. And that's about as Democratic as Joe gets. But Joe declared, he hoisted himself up on his haunches and deigned to give his betters advice. He instructed Nancy Pelosi to not run for Speaker of the House. I kid you not. And then he instructed Nancy Pelosi not to investigate the Tangerine Tiberius. No. He said that the Democratic majority in the House needed to negotiate with Julius Geiser and not oppose him. Just give him what he wants, and maybe he won't hurt us. It would appear that Joe has Joe has a toxic case of Stockholm Syndrome. It was disgusting. Agnes and I were there in the car, and you know, we're pretty good. We don't often scream at the radio or anything. This morning we did. Mostly it was a matter of saying things like, "Oh, shut up!" But yes, Joe is in full collaborator mode. And he doesn't want any investigations. I don't know why he wouldn't want violations of the law investigated, but he doesn't. So, go figure. But like I said, there was value in it because at least I get to go back to despising him. I didn't stop despising him. I went and voted for him yesterday, and he's basically on a national level or a congressional level, he's the only Democrat who won. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to pretend that Rich Ojeda was a great candidate anymore. No, I don't have to do that either. And I can look at the little county where I live. You know, as we drill down a little bit, I can look at the county where I live and realize that no matter how hip or how happening or how cool, because remember, Fayetteville is America's coolest small town. We've got a sign that says so. No matter how cool we are, we're still not awesome enough to keep a pair of religious maniacs out of the House of Delegates. But by the same token, I'm looking for diamonds in the dung here. and having the House of Representatives making the maggots actually pretend to want to get anything done, as opposed to simply cudgeling their way through the throng, has value. This is not a tonight. Look, but like on a local level, the other good news, maybe we don't have to have fossilized candidates anymore. I mean, it was really annoying going to the polls yesterday and having to vote for worn out political hacks. No offense toward our older population, but they're not real good at the future. And having Mel Kessler and Margaret Staggers on the ballot, Jesus Christ, really? And so consequently, because we had fossils that excited precisely no one, well, we wound up with a religious creep, with a pair of religious creeps named Kayla Kessinger and Tom Fast going to the House of Delegates again from a county whose entire economy relies on everything that those two fuckers are against. They are. They're religious maniacs. And they worry. They sit around worrying about the precious little fetuses. When the county runs on a tourism economy that depends on people who want to climb things and bike over things and fish and hike and raft, coming here and spending money. To give you an idea, you know what the winning percentages were? This is telling, because there's a lesson here. To their credit, the Mountain Party, which is the West Virginia equivalent of the fucking Greens, didn't field a candidate in the Senate race between Joe Manchin and Pill Push and Patrick Morrissey. Joe Manchin won. On the other hand, when you drill down, I know you don't care about the county politics here, but there's a teachable moment here. On the other hand, in my county, in the race for House of Delegates, where the two religious maniacs wound up being returned to the House of Delegates because of the relentless politicking that takes place in the pulpits around here, you had the three Democratic nominees all lose. Kayla Kessinger was the number one vote getter at 19% of the ballot, of the ballots cast. Religious maniac Tom Fast came in second with 18% of the votes cast. 19% of the vote gets you into the House of Delegates in my county. 7,539 votes gets you into the House of Delegates. So does 6,886. Now, the highest polling Democrat was a fossil by the name of Margaret Staggers. My wife, the lovely Agnes, the nurse, years and years and years ago, when Margaret Staggers was campaigning down at the Little League ball field, she set up a table, because she's a physician. She set up a table where she was volunteering to take people's blood pressure for them. Nice political shtick. Unless, of course, a Little League mom who happens to be a nurse has to come over and actually show you how to take someone's blood pressure. That happened. And the Little League mom nurse was Agnes. But Margaret Staggers was the number one vote getter in that House of Delegates race. And she got 16% of the ballots cast for a total of 6,000. You might want to jot this number down, 6,114. You were allowed to vote for all three of your party's nominees. And the top two vote getters would win. Margaret Staggers came in third with 6,114 votes. The number three Republican came in fourth. And then the two Democrats. But down at the bottom, there was this really nice guy named Elliot Pritt. And he was running as an independent, but he was a very liberal independent. He was Mountain Party-ish. He got 6% of the ballots cast. He got 2,358 votes. If you take those 2,300, and he ran on a platform of let's legalize weed, a platform with which I wholeheartedly agree. But from the moment he filed till the moment the election was over, he never had a prayer. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. Niente. Nil. And but he did manage to get the votes of 2,358 well-meaning, liberal, progressive people in my county. Now, if you take that 2,358 and you tack it on to say, oh, let's say the lowest vote getter, a fossil by the name of Mel Kessler, well, 4,000, he got 4,707 votes. Let's see, 4,707 plus 2,358, that's 7,000 votes that would have, the guy who came in last among the Democrats would have actually beaten the guy who came in second among the Republicans. An object lesson in third party politics. So you get an idea. How it shakes out. And by the way, the West Virginia teachers, who were all 55 strong, and I fully supported their strike, and they were all about remember in November, they couldn't get the job done because the West Virginia House of Delegates and the West Virginia Senate remain in the tender mercies of the birth or death or ninth or tenth or bagger bircher booger eater maggot Republican majority. So there are little teachable moments. There are little learning opportunities there. Oh yes. Lots and lots of learning opportunities. Now, whether we actually learn from them, that's another question. Let's see. Meanwhile, with some happy news, Steve from Georgistan, who won in Georgia's 6th District? Lucy McBath declares victory in 6th District race in Georgia. Karen Handel not conceding. This is Newt's old district. Remember the Ossoff-Handel race that GOP sunk all that money in back in July? It was all for naught. Ha 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 ha! Done in by Lady Macbeth. I'm sorry, that's just too easy. By the way, note coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. Nancy P. On my way to work this afternoon, I heard Nancy already offering concessions, such as if they only and work without with our friends on the other side. What we need is to go balls out and hammer these fucks. Give her some credit, Jeremy. You don't come out six guns a-blazin' before you've even been elected speaker. One. And two, with our obligatory Star Trek reference, a nod of the head toward, was it a Klingon or was it Khan? I can't remember. Revenge. Oh, that's Khan, isn't it? Isn't it Khan? Or is it the Klingon? Revenge is a dish that is best served cold. And it is very cold in Washington, D.C., Jim Kirk. Something like that. The reason the Republicans hate Nancy Pelosi so much is because she is so goddamn good at handing them their asses. And there's nobody out there on the in the Democratic bench who could even get close to doing the job she's done. Now, I believe in bringing a bench along and raising up new talent. And given the folks that came in on this the freshmen that are coming into this Congress, I think Nancy would do very, very well for herself to elevate the best and brightest of them into leadership positions in the House and start developing that talent for a day when there just isn't going to be a Nancy Pelosi anymore. Ah, okay, thank you. Michael in Madison said, yes, it's Khan quoting a Klingon proverb.
There is an old Klingon proverb, Jim Kirk. Revenge is a dish that is best served cold. Inside a Chrysler Cordoba with fine Corinthian leather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ron and Raleigh, a word for Joe. Can I tell that smarmy quizzling to just fuck the hell off? I think you just did, Ron. Good for you. You beat me to it. But Joe says this'll be his last term in the Senate. And I'm going to take him at his word. And that's 6 years to find somebody that with some progressive values that we can get behind and support and hopefully get into the general election. Maybe it'll be even somebody who's a Democrat who never actually voted for Donald Trump. Woo, wouldn't that be cool? But the conversation for 2020 begins today. I mean, we'll do the postmortem. And I understand our dear friend Steve in New York pointed out, well, let me go and find the email. Hang on, let's check in a couple of other emails first, though. Dave from Talibandiana says, I know this is wishful thinking, but as I understand it, the Speaker of the House does not have to be a member. That's true. I heard last night that Nancy Pelosi said she would be looking at her replacement. If I were to advise Leader Pelosi at this time, I would go with the choice of Dr. Bill. After all, there's a man who understands the Constitution and would be willing to talk to anybody about it. However, I think that these two upstanding, I think he's too upstanding a gentleman to accept the offer. Just a thought, your buddy Dave. Oh, well, you know, so that's the thing. We don't have that many. Dr. Bill is truly a statesman. And we don't have that many of those. But we do have a whole bunch of really smart people. Adam Schiff, I trust that he's going to investigate the living shit out of Donald Trump. And, Auntie Maxine, Auntie Maxine's going to have a chairmanship with which she can send his blood pressure maybe 100 and 150 points up with. And then there's Elijah Cummings out of Maryland. Representative Cummings can make his life miserable, too. It's sort of like the, you remember back when we were balls deep in our filthy, illegal war against the innocent people of Iraq? You know, the one that George Bush started? And you remember how we would torture people at our concentration camp at Abu Ghraib and as well, Guantanamo. At Guantanamo, we tortured them by putting them naked in cold rooms and playing the Barney theme song at our prisoners jet engine at takeoff levels. And when you're subjected to something like that, no matter how hard you try, you can't get away from it, and eventually it turns your brains to gravy. Well, Trump's brains are, what used to be Trump's brains, are already pretty much just spirochetes swimming in gravy. But being investigated on every turn might just push him over the edge. If you watched his press conference today, you'll know that the man has only the most tenuous grasp on reality as it is. Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit, I think. With the challenge that's on the table, a brand new subscription from James. Thank you, James. And our buddy Hung Like Jesus kicking in. That means $25 out of the $100 challenge has been met. Thank you very, very kindly, James and Hung Like Jesus. Maybe we can knock this off in the next 28 minutes. That would be awesome. Thank you indeed. Let me find. Let me find Steve's note. It rolled in about 1:20 this morning. Subject line, so here we are. I admit it. I expected Democrats to do better, so much so that I think what happened tonight was a disaster. Why might I say that? We took the House, right? Let's start with history. According to Wikipedia, midterm elections are sometimes regarded as a referendum on the sitting president's and/or incumbent party's performance. The party of the incumbent president tends to lose ground during midterm elections. Over the past 21 midterm elections, the president's party lost an average of 30 seats in the House and an average 4 seats in the Senate. Moreover, in only 2 of those has the president's party gained seats in both houses. So we have to ask these questions, Steve says. When we have a person like Trump in the White House, the Democrats underperform by historical standards in the Senate. However, let's just take a look here. The Democrats lost to a white supremacist in Florida for the governor's mansion. The Democrats lost to a Medicare fraudster, actually not just a Medicare fraudster, but the Medicare fraudster for the Senate in Florida, probably the capital of people who use Medicare in the country. In addition, the Democrats lost to one of the most disgusting and deplorable people ever to be in the Senate, Ted Cruz. This begs a bunch of questions. One, how can the Democrats be that incompetent? Two, why do we keep placing such incompetent people in leadership positions in the party? Three, we have the single most disgusting person sitting in the Oval Office in U.S. history, yet the Democrats can't parlay that into at least the historical average for a midterm. And four, we're at a point where we can no longer call the other side Trumpansies and morons and say they're just stupid. To quote Will McAvoy from the show The Newsroom, if liberals are so goddamn smart, how come they lose so goddamned often? Let me reiterate, I'm happy we won the House, but we underperformed with Donald fucking Trump in the White House. If we can't at least be at the historical averages in this scenario, where the hell are we? Steve continues, it strikes me that we are at a crossroads. We need to acknowledge some things. One, we don't know how to do politics. Two, a bunch of supposed morons are kicking our ass. Three, we continue to bring a butter knife to a nuclear fight. Four, we continue to put milquetoast losers like Tom Perez, Charles Schumer, etc. in leadership positions, and they keep losing. I'm going to be honest here. I've come to be a huge fan of Nancy Pelosi. Why? She fucking delivers. She raises money. She keeps her caucus together. She passes legislation. Tom Perez leads the Democratic Party to a less than historically average showing with Donald fucking Trump in the White House. If these circumstances don't lead us to a blue wave, nothing will. These idiots were given a situation on a silver platter. What did they do? They fucked it up. We're at a crossroads in this country and need to seriously start asking ourselves these questions. One, how willing are we to do politics to win? Two, is it time to start talking secession? No, really, because it seems to me our differences are so irreconcilable we can't live together, work together, or legislate together. When you have an entire 35% of people for whom facts are negotiable, how do we reason or work with such people? Three, do Democrats have the stomach for the type of politics it takes to win? Let's remember something. Politics is about one thing, winning. Put aside policy, the common good, and all that frilly-dilly language. If we don't win, all of our pristine, wonderful policies are nothing but articles in policy journals. It strikes me that politics must include every bit of deception, leaking, innuendo, etc. to win. The only off-limits areas are voter suppression and out-and-out lying. Everything else is on the table. Do Democrats have the stomach for that? I suspect not. The bottom line is that I am sick of losing to fucking moronic people. I'm even more sick of moderate milquetoast Democrats who keep telling me that I don't understand how politics works when their losing streak is epic. Food for thought, I guess. Thank you, Steve. There's a lot to agree with in what Steve says. A couple of points, though. And, you know, I'm the reference for this, so, you know, it's subject to, you know, wrongness. But I said a long time ago that realistically the first chance that the Democrats had of taking back the House at all, the first opportunity that we would have a Democratic majority in the House was going to be January 2021 or January 2023. Because of the demographic shifts taking place in this country and because of the degree to which districts are in the House are so hopelessly gerrymandered. So by that metric, and granted, I'm not much of a metric, but by that metric, we're ahead of schedule. And understand the profound impact that gerrymandering has on this process. Democrats last night got a significantly higher number of raw votes than Republicans did in the teabagger wave of 2010. And yet the teabaggers in 2010 got a lot more seats out of it. Again, more votes last night than the baggers got in 2010, and yet we got less seats. That's not a case of Democrats not knowing how to play, not knowing how to win, and being generally a bunch of fuck-ups. That is a function of the vast amount of gerrymandering that is present thanks to all the Republican legislatures in this state, or in this country, in the states, in this country. Well, some of that began to turn around last night, too, with people like Snot Walker having to take the long walk to the retirement mailbox every month now. Getting Michigan out of the hands of that odious nightmare, Rick Snyder. You know, maybe there's a fighting chance now that Flint will finally have clean water. That matters. And then there's Andrew Gillum. Andrew Gillum lost a governor's race that turned into a racist contest within 12 hours of the close of the Florida primary. It was 12 hours or less after the winners were announced that Ron DeSantis began dog whistling. Let's don't monkey this up. It wasn't 2 weeks before the first Nazi robocalls went out to telephones in Florida. You heard that audio. You heard the second audio, the second Nazi robocall too. And I'll preface what I'm about to say by reminding us all, this program does not exist for entertainment purposes. This program does not exist in order to deliver you, the members of this community, into the tender clutches of some corporation that wants to sell you some gold or an olive oil extract that'll make your wife lose so much weight she'll practically disappear. And so all we have here is what I hope is a fairly clear-eyed understanding, or an attempt at fairly clear-eyed understanding, of the issues of the day. If it proves to be entertaining once in a while, that's great. Because if I just sat here and read news stories, I would bore myself to tears. And so we have funny voices and kitschy names, and we give hell to people who desperately deserve it. But we try, and when I say we, I mean all of us together, by emails and calls and tweets and Facebook and over on Skype and the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and everything, we try to be grounded in reality. Now, that's not, when I say we, that's the whole community. It's not like Augustus Geezer today, who started tweeting when he shit canned Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, because that happened today. He started tweeting about we. Let me see if I can find that tweet real quick so we can draw the distinction. He tweeted about 3 hours ago, "We are pleased to announce that Matthew G. Whitaker," and we'll get to Matt, "Chief of Staff to Attorney General Jeff Sessions at the Department of Justice, will become our new acting Attorney General of the United States. He will serve our country well." And I read that "we" and just went, what the actual fuck? So I replied to him and said, "We? What's this we? What, are you the Queen of England now or just the Queen of Drama?" So when I say we, I don't mean that kind of we. I mean we, our community. "We are pleased. We are pleased." Jesus. But we try to maintain a firm grasp on reality here. And toward that end, recognize where we are. And I, before yesterday, I said it, and I said it, and I said it, and I said it, and I'm not, And I see no reason not to maintain the position that in a desperately close race, a Republican will always benefit a Republican can find a margin of victory in the racist base, the alt-right base, as Bannon said it was. More than 50%, remember, he said, of the GOP base is alt-right, and alt-right means racist, and alt-right means Nazi, and alt-right means Klansman, and alt-right means sympathizers to all of the above. And in Florida, we saw the truth of what I've been asserting. That's why those robocalls were run. And we have a campaign finance system that is so utterly, completely, totally, and entirely corrupt that a group of Nazis can campaign on a candidate's behalf, and all the candidate has to say is, "Why, mercy sakes, I had no idea the Klan was on my side. I don't even like the Klan." Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. Because the monkey up comment was the door squeaking open, creaking open, for the Nazis to get busy and the racists to get busy. This is Florida, for fuck's sake. This is the state that has Rosewood in it. For most of the members of this community, I don't have to tell you what Rosewood was. You know. And hasn't that much changed at all? So I understand, Steve, what you're getting at, and I agree with a lot of it, but I think that historically less than average showing you're talking about has as much to do with gerrymandering as it does with, well, our ability to win. Duncan Hunter got returned to the House of Representatives even though he's under indictment because he ran filthy ads referring to his opponent as a terrorist simply because he is of Palestinian extraction. Take this in and get it all the way down, all the way to the center of your bones and all the way to your toenails. This is a racist country. It's not a country with a racism problem. This is a racist country. In the 3 weeks before the election, well, one of the things that motivated folks, Republicans in Florida, was the maggot who started sending out bombs to people that, well, if I wasn't afraid I'd get arrested, I'd probably send CNN a bomb too, goddammit. MAGA. Yeah. Robert Bowers is a hero to tens of thousands, if not millions, of Nazis in this country. Deal with it. We do have a little ray of sunshine coming out of South Carolina, Stan. David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out Florence County, South Carolina, Sunday alcohol sales referendum. Yes, 26,760. No, 16,148. So people in Florence County, South Carolina, will finally be able to buy a beer on Sunday. Freedom. Hey, thanks very kindly to John. John has taken down the Darlene's Challenge another notch. We might get there by 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We got $55 to go on that. Thank you, John. Thank you very kindly indeed. We can knock this down. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not two. It's three candidates on felony charges surviving the midterms. Thanks for the note there and the correction, Steve from Georgistan. Michael in Madison. Oh, I wish I was running bumpers. The Royal We. I didn't know there was a song out there called The Royal We. Well, at least I can listen to it after the program. And just a reminder, in case you didn't know, I kind of knocked off the music so that we wouldn't get our stuff banned when it gets posted up over at YouTube. Trying to build the community for all we're worth here. Yeah, and as Steve from Georgistan points out, hell, Nevada elected a dead pimp to the state assembly over a Democrat. Yeah, Nevada's gonna have a dead pimp in the state assembly, and we've got a live John in the White House. Merca. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Don't you know? Well, thank you, Hung Like Jesus. I'm not sure what you thank you'd me for, but thank you. That was about 15 minutes ago. Les, a fucking man. Steve hit it dead center. Still banging my head against the fucking table in Florida. Why the fuck did he concede within 1%? The other way around, and Clansantis would have taken it all the way to a bought and paid for Supreme Court. I don't know the answer to that. Speaking of fossils, Ron in Raleigh says, DiFi has won her seat again. She'll be 92 fucking years old at the end of her term. Can't these people see the writing on the wall? I'm not an ageist. However, I don't want to see her wheeled into the Senate chambers looking like Strom Thurmond. She's holding a spot that could be won by a younger, more progressive person. Does she think she's really helping the party? No, she just... When power is all you have, power is what you cling to. And she does a lot of good for a lot of corporations. And Dan, with a reminder, because this is what one of these kinds of elections look like. Dan reminds us, subject line Nevada, but Nevada also elected a new Democratic senator in Jackie Rosen. Yeah. See, that's the heartbreaking part of this. It's not a big win for the Republicans in the Senate. John Tester earlier today, was declared the winner in Montana. It looked like he wasn't going to be, but somehow or another, he pulled it off. Bill Nelson, as of noonish, was not conceding because of how close that race was. And hey, for once, Mirabile dictu, West Virginia held up its end of the bargain. Huh. Howdy damn do. It's been a year that every time you turn on some godforsaken political pundit, well, you know, Joe Manchin's one of the most threatened Democrats in America and probably won't win, and yeah, because he's from the Trumpiest state. But Joe Manchin had a secret weapon. Joe Manchin's secret weapon was keeping Donald Trump's testicles resting on his chin, which he will continue to do now. And like I said, I can go back to despising him. But West Virginia held up its end of the bargain. North Dakota dropped the ball. Well, maybe not dropped. When you disenfranchise the people who gave Heidi Heitkamp her margin of victory, well, doggone it, that makes it a little hard for North Dakota to return her to office. and give credit where credit is due. She knew it might cost her her seat, and where Brett Kavanaugh was concerned, she still did the right thing. That's the kind of thing that you get that winds up being put on tombstones, you know, for people to remember for hundreds of years. Did the right thing, even though it personally cost her. They'll never put that on Joe Manchin's tombstone. Kyrsten Sinema. Well, you know, golly Moses, if only, who knows? Maybe it was the lesbian thing. Or maybe it was the fact that she didn't really excite progressives because she moved so aggressively to the center once she got to the House of Representatives. Who knows? Yeah, I know. About the bumpers, Michael in Madison says, I forgot. It's been a long 2 days. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Dave from Talibandiana with a note. Democrats in Talibandiana in the last 2 weeks, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Joe Donnelly put on an ad that said, if you're an extremist on either and now either party, I don't want your vote. Here's a hint. Joe never, and I repeat, never, under any circumstances, tell voters you don't want their vote, you stupid son of a bitch. I've said for years you should have caucused with the Republicans. At least then you'd be an honest politician. I wish the Democrats of the bipartisan variety and the term limits put a lot of bile in my throat would learn that as a member of a party, you're a partisan. Just saying your buddy Dave. My rant's over. I'm recovering from last night's junk food bender. Out there in the Trumpansy blind. Yeah, John, there's no video or anything. It's just the audio of the program, but it goes up at YouTube every night. Bob Kincaid. Megan. Steve, I'm going to have to strongly disagree with you, dude. Besides the record number of women hired to the House of Representatives, Texas local races gained the following. Congressman Pete Sessions and his fellow Tea Party caucus member John Culbertson both voted out on Tuesday. Lena Hidalgo, 27-year-old Colombian immigrant and progressive from Harris County, got voted in as county executive. All 19 African-American women won judgeships in Harris County, uniting under a banner called Harris County Black Girl Magic, replacing Glenn Devlin. And John Phillips, both losing re-election to juvenile court judgeships. They alone were responsible for putting one-fifth of all Texas children in juvenile prison in 2017. Jermaine Tanner won her family court judgeship as well. All these women want to focus on rehabilitative services other than jail time for youth. All of them were helped by Beto's campaign. All of these were gains, and I see them as jar looseners on decades-old moribund practices. We have to take our wins where we get them and continue to fight for more. We're not failures just because we don't have instant gains and victories over gerrymandering, voter suppression, and plain old dog-whistling racism and sexism. But I do agree, I'm trying to find the victories to take where we can find them. And there are victories. Kansas, you know, the Democratic Party poured a ton into beating Chris Kobach, and he gets to go into retirement at some wingnut welfare outfit now. Maybe he'll get a job now that the benches are going to get cleared in the Trump regime. That was one of the questions that was asked today during the Mad King's, the orangutan's harangue. Are there any Republicans who lost yesterday who you might find a place for in your administration?
Well, I'm looking at some of them. I'm not going to tell you who. It's a big secret because the spirochetes haven't told me yet either.
Mm-hmm. There were victories. And I know Randy in PA says he thinks the investigations will be meaningless, but they may not be. Because depending on what comes out of it, we may get to find out the answer to the age-old question, can a sitting president be indicted? And indicting him is not the same as impeaching him. I still maintain that circumstances being what they are, if they remain anything close to the way that they are presently aligned, impeaching him would be a mistake, no matter how badly I would like to see it happen, and no matter how badly most of us would like to see it happen. It will be a mistake because it's an automatic loser in the Senate, and that in turn emboldens him and strengthens him going into 2020. And yes, we live in a permanent campaign mode in the new United States of America, and we are in 2020 mode as of about midnight this morning. And so the great challenge of finding good candidates, and especially as progressives, finding good candidates worthy of our support. And, you know, and not just being conned by anybody who comes along and says, hey, y'all, I'm a progressive. And not being conned by fundraising campaigns masquerading as PACs and political organizations. Eyes wide open, y'all. Eyes wide open. Just a reminder. Jack in Shreveport. Democrats lame at politics? How do you fight an opponent that is unencumbered with any duty, obligation, or pang of conscience to work on behalf of the U.S. people or of the country as an institution? Or even on the part of their own constituents? Not even basic human rights are a consideration to the white wing. Maybe the problem is that we frame this as some kind of political competition between two parties rather than, as your term, a cold civil war. Oh, by the way, I heard Steve Schmidt this morning on My Filthy Little Habit use that term. You're welcome, Steve. Fighting and winning against an opponent we call the Republican Party along with the people who control it may simply not be possible using what we call statesmanship. By framing our fight as a cold civil war rather than just tough politics, we can allow ourselves tactics which could actually have some effectiveness against our opponent. Is it time to start using terminology which is actually honest about what the Republican Party is and does? Well, I tend to think so. You have to understand the nature of the struggle you're in order to survive that struggle. Oh, and by the way, Michael Moore showed up, and I like Michael Moore. Michael Moore showed up on My Filthy Little Habit this morning and declared that we have to have a charismatic person beloved of the United States to run for the Democratic nomination for president. And Mika spoke up and said, yeah, but what about Kamala Harris? And he said, nope. And she said, well, I'm usually right. But I guess Michael Moore is looking for some sort of an anti-Trump. God help us, I hope he didn't mean Michael Avenatti. I just hope. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. Hey, Bob, I'm very happy we took the House back and Manchin managed to win, but Donnelly managed to do what centrist Dems do best, shit on his base, move right at the end, and get his ass kicked. Some of them will never learn. Hear, hear. Good old centrists. Jeremy in Vermont, Scott Walker. It was a nice thing to see Scott Walker shown the door as well. Oh, yes, it was.
And another thing that taps into all of this, I think the outcome would have been somewhat different had we not been beaten over the head for a year with, my God, this economy is wonderful. Everybody's just shitting ice cream. We're sleeping on piles of gold dust. The economy is amazing. And you know, it wasn't just Trump saying that shit. It was the for-profit multimillionaire media that were pumping that out there too. But I don't know about where you live. I don't see people who are just
promised me the known world. He did all the gold I could eat.
No, it's not out there. I don't see people in West Virginia, especially young people, being able to have jobs that allow them to work something like a full-time week, have health care, and maybe support a family. Oh, hell no. All the fast food joints have help wanted signs on their doors, but here's the thing. They've been told by the consultants that it's always good to have help wanted signs on the door because it makes them look like they give a shit. And then if you happen to get in there and get one of those jobs for which they want the help, it's 18 hours a week, and you can't pay for the goddamn gas to get to work on what you're getting paid. So that didn't help. And John points out, the incoming Ways and Means chair claims that he's going to seek Trump's tax returns. Good. It's about damn time. Earther with a note, and I'm going to the phones here just in a second. By the way, we still have $55 to go on Darlene's challenge. We didn't quite knock it out by 7. Let's shoot for, can we do this by 7:30 maybe? Just try. Please don't leave the challenge on the table. Earther says, was this Steve from Georgia? No, it was Steve from New York. I love Steve, says Earther. I love all horny Steves and everyone in the horn. I think that's a problem we have on the left. Ha! What left? Saved me. Earther actually typed that. Saved me from having to. Yeah. Sometimes we're so determined to find out how catastrophically bad everything is, to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, and to somehow revel in that bitterness as a measure of just how smart and knowledgeable we are. Steve's statements assume Democrats barely won in a fair contest. No, they won in a ridiculously unfair and rigged setup. We had Muhammad Ali in his older years with the non-shaky hand tied behind his back. The Goppers had the current world champion, and they lost. A lot of the iconic losses like Beto, Gillum, Nelson, Stacey Abrams in Georgia were ridiculously close, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of those were actually victories. Yeah, Stacey Abrams... When you put the bad machines that don't have the power cords in the neighborhoods where the people who are going to vote for Stacey Abrams go to vote, it looks a little rigged. You know, if all the votes were actually counted, if there wasn't caging, purges, faulty machines, and all those folks I just mentioned were all unknown just 2 years ago, imagine what they'd do in round two or round three. How many Senate seats were the Goppers defending yesterday? 1? No, 9. And they and you know, here's the funny thing. If it hadn't fallen apart in Talibandiana and in North Dakota, and if in fact, you know, the down ballot Nazis Nazi effect hadn't put the screws to Bill Nelson, because remember he was up by 5, 6, 7 points a week ago, so was Andrew Gillum. And it's hard to poll Nazis, isn't it? It's hard to poll Klansmen, isn't it? Because they're used to living in the shadows and running under the radar. Those Nazis, those Klansmen, those Republicans. But we actually picked up a Senate seat in Nevada. We could have come close to dead even. And we'll probably never know how many votes got flipped from Beto to Ted Cruz by people who voted straight ticket Democrat in Texas and didn't notice what happened when they hit send. Yeah. Earther continues, we're not good at politics. Who's the we here? Neither of us horniac liberals, nor the purity anarcho-socialist vegan justice warriors are exercising any control or direction in this Democratic Party or their messaging and strategy. I do agree that Nancy Pelosi is an effective leader. Cheer up, Steve, in New York. Or do I need to bid her down? Hey, by the way, let me throw this out as an aside. If of the two leaders of the Democratic Party in the Congress, I would shed not a single fucking tear if Chuck Schumer was to, you know, decide that it was time to bring in somebody better, younger, stronger, and meaner. Because something I pointed out earlier today, we're going on 20 years. 20 long years in which Democrats have lacked effective leadership in the Senate. No wonder we lose so star-spangled much. Leadership matters. And from Harry Reid to Chuck Schumer, the Senate leadership on the Democratic side bites. Meanwhile, Hung Like Jesus says, thanks to Steve, and yes, this country is deeply racist. If those ballot boxes could talk, they'd tell you Americans are mostly full of shit and will not vote for what Hung Like Jesus refers to as a darkie. Would that it were not so. Silent R. Lamar. Subject line, Mr. Moore, Michael Moore. I caught the same morning Joe, too. I agree with Mr. Moore. Somebody like Beto from Texas could win, like Obama. Fox was not ready for Obama because their focus was on Hillary. That's a possibility. But I don't know. Look, Beto raised a ton of money, and I'll bet it's not all gone. And John, our buddy John Bridavoe has been on my mind all day long. And I know he must be pissed off and frustrated and heartbroken. But hey, let's look forward. John Cornhole in Texas, who, while not as immediately loathable as Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is far nastier. Far nastier. And maybe, just maybe, I kind of hope Beto gets another bite at the apple. And again, just a gentle reminder. In 2020, the Republicans have to defend 20 seats, and the Democrats have to defend like 10. It's almost a flip-flop from what this year was. Slow and steady wins the race. One of the keys here is going to be to continue to show the American people how awful Donald Trump can be, and let him be as awful as he goddamned well is. Let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, sweetie, how you doing?
You know, I'm okay. How about you?
Still got this fucking cough. But other than that, you know, we did okay in California. We got some, you know, congressional seats in Orange County, which is exciting. That's fucking cool. Unfortunately, Tony Thurmond lost to Marshall Charter School Tuck, so that sucks because people believe, you know, the bullshit ads, and Prop 10 lost because people believe the bullshit ads for rent control, and Prop 8 lost because people got scared into thinking that the dialysis companies actually care about them. So that was kind of heartbreaking. But, my exciting thing was when I found out this morning that Kim Davis lost her clerkship in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, she did. And she was beaten by one of the guys. She was beaten by one of the guys she discriminated against.
I'm sorry. That's what I woke up to this morning, and I laughed. Jan's like, why are you laughing? And when I told her, she's like, oh, that's some funny shit.
Yeah,
so that was cool.
Yeah, that's a little ray of sunshine stuff.
It's like you said, we have to take the wins. I mean, it sucks that we lost even more seats in the Senate. But, again, we lost the people who weren't really Democrats anyway. I mean, they were too, what did you call them, centrist? So it's like, whatever. You know, don't let the back door hit you with the Lord split you. So I'm not sad about these people leaving, but what is your overall take on last night?
You know, I mean, I wanted to take the Senate too, but I've said all along, Tracy, that was a long shot. When one side has to defend 9 seats and the other has to defend 25, it almost beggars the imagination to think that you're going to succeed. And
right.
we probably got closer than we should have. And look how hard they had to disenfranchise Native Americans in North Dakota to beat Heidi Heitkamp.
Right.
And Heidi was not one of those people was anybody I would ever point to as a great model of what it means to be a Democrat. She was an NRA lick spittle.
Wait, what is a lick spittle?
Well, I mean, think about it. Lick spittle.
Okay, you. Okay, gotcha.
The NRA could spit on the ground and she would lick it up. That's what a lick spittle is.
I had an idea what you meant, but what you just said, it was far worse than what I thought it was. So now, thank you.
And she really was that. And she was a reliable vote with the Republicans on a lot of stuff because she was one of those conservative Democrats. It's funny how it's funny how the Democrats allow conservative Democrats to exist, but the goddamn Republicans will not allow a liberal Republican to exist. The closest you can get is noted Republican moderate Susan Collins, who is not moderate. She's let's use the word again, she's a lick spittle for Donald Trump.
Exactly.
So, and there were gains made in the states. It matters who the governor is. It would have been great to have the first African American woman governor in the whole damn country, and have her win in Georgia. And look how hard they had to work to stop her.
And she still came very damn close.
Yeah. They had to send out a Nazi robocall mocking Oprah Winfrey. They had to call Stacey Abrams a negress.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make sure that the goddamned electric voting machines didn't have any fucking power cords.
it was just, and don't forget the, you know, the purging of 500,000 people.
Well, right. Brian Kemp purged more people than he won by.
Right.
So what we see out of last night is a Republican Party that is actually on the damn run. They are scared water-boweled. They know their sun is setting. We've talked about what's going to happen with climate change in 12 years. In 12 years, there may not be a Republican Party anymore.
We can only hope.
And no matter how hard the Trump administration Department of Commerce under that goddamn crook Wilbur Ross, no matter how hard they fuck with the census, they cannot change the fact that this is a changing country.
Nope. They can't keep people from, they can't keep people, brown people from having babies. Fortunately, they don't have, you know, forced sterilization anymore. So they can't do that. So there's that. And just the fact that in Florida, they gave 1 million people the right to vote again.
Yeah.
There's that.
I mean, this is, and this is not a wholesale disaster.
I mean, in Louisiana, they got rid of the fact that you have now you have to have a 12 jury, 12 persons agreeing, a unanimous jury. None of this 10, only if 10 people say, well, that person's guilty, that's okay.
Yeah, what a leap into the 19th century that was.
I know, the 19th century, not even the 20th or the 21st century.
But, it, you know, and look, one of there was nasty shit on the ballots last night. Coming out of Alabama declared that a little wad of cells has as much rights, as many constitutional rights as you and I do. Okay.
Yeah. How many states had the abortion laws? Alabama. Who else?
Oh, I think there were three or four others here in West Virginia, and it's closer to home. Here in West Virginia, we had a constitutional amendment, and it passed that said we ain't gonna pay for no fucking abortion for no fucking poor women, and we're gonna put it in the Constitution that we're gonna shit on poor women who want an abortion. But here's the thing. That measure only won 52% to 48%. I know. There's no such thing as a noble loss. Losses are losses, and wins are wins.
But I'm looking at the numbers too, like you are, because see, even though I'm not a numbers person, I'm kind of a numbers person because I'm looking at how close things came. How close Andrew Gillum was, how close Stacey Abrams was, how close Ben Justice was. I'm looking at those numbers, and I'm looking at what would happen had people's votes not been suppressed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like I said, nobody cares about my crummy little county here, but had the potheads actually voted with their brains and not their pipes, we would have removed one more Republican, and this one a particularly noxious religious maniac who tortured, who used the power of his law license to torture a pair of gay women once upon a time who were trying to take care of a newborn special needs child and tortured them to the point that the Supreme Court of West Virginia finally had to tell him to sit down and shut up. That guy would not have gone back to the West Virginia House of Delegates if the potheads would have just voted for the Democrat instead of voting for the guy who had no chance whatsoever but said, I want some legal weed, man.
This is, again, you know, what I envy about Republicans and their, you know, and they are a monolith when it comes to their candidates.
And that's where Steve from New York is right. They get it. They get it. You have to have power. You have to win in order to exercise power.
And Democrats don't get that shit. And like you said, people wasting votes on Jill. You know, in 2016, Jill Stein. Really? She didn't have a chance in hell to win. But you voted for her anyway. It was a vote for Jill Stein in 2016 was a vote for Donald Trump.
Sure it was. But you want more good news? David in South Carolina, Stan, just reminded me. Now, this is South Carolina, Stan, okay? South Carolina, Stan. Well, you remember we had the clip last week of Mark Sanford, who was on his way out because he'd lost to a maggot in the primary, but he was the one who said, what was it? They were talking about so-called birthright citizenship, that racist-ass term. He ascribed the 14th Amendment to the Founding Fathers when
right.
Right, right. When that came out of the, when the 14th Amendment was one of the Civil War amendments. Well, the teabagger who had been roundly supported by Donald fucking Trump lost. And by the way, this update for you, courtesy of Steve from Georgistan, it ain't over. Georgia governor race, election results too close to call between Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp. Stacey won't. She won't concede.
Because see, this is another thing about backbone. It takes a black woman to have a backbone because the white boys are saying, "Okay, we stop." I mean, you know, Gillum. Because of the way voter suppression is in Texas, Florida, and Georgia, I wouldn't have conceded shit if I was Beto and Gillum. I'm like, I want every vote counted. I want the people who got provisional ballots, their votes counted. You know, like you said, you know.
Beto's margin isn't 1%.
Oh, how much? How was his?
I mean, it was like 3%. Last I saw.
Okay, well, there's that.
I mean, Beto was supposed to lose by 9 points.
He was supposed to lose big
13
time.
Points. He was supposed to be blown out. Meanwhile, Dallas County, it ain't no Tar Heel blue. It's no sky blue. It is blue. Change is coming.
It's coming. And we can't sit. We can't sit in, you know, and do and you know, sit in our corner sucking our thumbs with our diapers on, going, wah wah wah, the wabby lab. We need to keep fighting. We need to get, like you said, the election cycle for 2020 started at midnight tonight. At 12:01 November 7th, that's when the new election cycle started, and we need to hit the ground running, because we got 2 years to come up with somebody to run against the Orange Menace.
Okay, let me ask you a question, and the other members of the California Horn contingent can chime in too, email, whatever. Is Gavin Newsom going to be somebody who's going to bring the heat and sue Donald Trump every time he tries to fuck California on climate change or immigration or anything else?
Yes. I feel he is, because he's stronger on climate change and immigration rights than Jerry Brown ever was. Because there's a couple of things that Jerry Brown did that I'm like, really, Jerry? Fracking? Okay.
Yeah, Jerry had that fracking problem.
You know, he's you fracking idiot. But I really believe that Gavin Newsom is gonna sweat Donald Trump like Maxine Waters does. I really think he is. I don't know.
And you know, and look, a lot of the resistance is going to be run out of California. Adam Schiff,
he's no joke.
Yeah, and heading the Intel Committee, and Devin Nunes being bye-bye.
And what's his name? Roy Dana, whatever his last name was. He's gone. You know, 30 years in Congress. It only passed 3 bills. Come on now.
And look, I mean, there are structural things to look at here. The Democrats went, pardon the sexist language, balls to the wall in Kansas, and yet they're still whistling past Dixie. You know, the one gerrymandered African American woman kept her seat in Alabama, because in Alabama they figure they got to let those people have one seat in Congress. You know, we got 4, they got 1. We gonna win all the time. But that, you got to get. But over in Mississippi, one of the damn Senate races is a runoff. And there will be a runoff on November the 27th.
Like I just look forward to the momentum, and I just hope it keeps going. I mean, like you said, you know, every victory is a victory, no matter what. I just don't want people to get disheartened and give up because we didn't win everything that we thought.
Precisely, because what you're talking about is the difference between 2008 and 2010. 2008, there was tremendous turnout to put Barack Obama into the White House and give him a Congress that he could work with. 2010, a whole bunch of people said, well, shit, I ain't got my unicorn yet.
Right. And then we got the teabaggers.
And that's how you got the teabaggers.
Because people stayed home. And we have to keep people, you know, like you said, balls to the wall. I don't know much about the people that were running in Orange County, and I think Katie Hill won her race against King out here. So I don't know much about her other than watching her ads, but I know that there were a lot of people supporting her, a lot of progressives and stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see. And it is about California because we have a lot of people. And, you know, if we do everything, you know, because I know Gavin Newsom is definitely ready to fight Donald Trump with climate change. That's a no-brainer for him. He is not playing. That was one of his big things out here is climate change. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm glad that we live in I would like to know what Scott is thinking on this, too.
Well, we may hear from him in a little bit. And by the way, as of this afternoon, you know, even the Arizona race is not a foregone conclusion. Despite the millionaire media calling all these races and declaring who wins and who loses, Martha McSally and Kyrsten Sinema, the margin between them is a fraction of the votes tabulated as of early today, and hundreds of thousands of uncounted ballots were still outstanding, according to the Associated Press.
It ain't over till it's over. I'm just really. Do you know how proud I am of Stacey Abrams?
God, yes.
I mean, this woman is like, but all y'all. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not conceding, and you know what's the saying is Brian Kemp is sweating bullets. To see, he was hoping that she would just roll over and play dead, and she's like, no, bitch, no. It's not going to be you will not get rid of me that easily. You will not.
Exactly.
Have you ever watched the show on HBO, Insecure?
No, I have not. I don't think I have HBO.
Okay, well, who's your cell phone through?
Well, I've got DirecTV now.
No, but who's your cell phone company?
Verizon.
Oh, okay, never mind. Because if you had AT&T, you would have your DirecTV now, but you would be able to watch HBO. Because that's how I watch HBO, because I have my cell phone through AT&T. And I don't actually have the channels for DirecTV now, but I can watch HBO through DirecTV now. Well, anyway, the show Insecure, the sister that started the show, and her name is Issa Rae. And anyway, there's this one episode about these, because it's four, you know, four black women and being black and a millennial in this country. And so they went to Coachella, which is not really black friendly, but you know, Beyonce has performed. So they're at the concert and they get high, and there's this one girl, her name is Kelly, and she's a you know, a big girl and very opinionated and, you know, doesn't give a fuck about what people say or do and will definitely speak her mind. Well, they're at the concert and she's high as fuck. And apparently they went and somebody was supposed to say their space. And the space got taken by these white people. And it was a white girl sitting on the shoulders of a white guy. And, of course, the white girl did her privilege and got snooty with the black woman, which didn't go well because she snatches her off of the shoulders of the white guy and starts railing on her. And, like, you know, I'm reclaiming my space. I'm reclaiming my time. And I bet you voted for Jill Stein.
Oh, zing.
It was just so, because, you know, like I just think about those people who either stayed home or voted for Jill Stein, you know, because our principal. It's like, oh, my God. Again, it's not that we can't have principal people. We have to have principals. However, we are in seriously the fight for our lives. And this is not hyperbole. That's right, right? I used that word correctly, right?
Yes.
I'm not over exaggerating. We are in the fight for our lives. When's the last time you did this? How much time we have before we can't do anything about climate change? How many years and how many days now, Bob?
I kind of lost. We're like 4 weeks shy of 12 years.
Okay. So we are in, I mean, as much as, you know, I'm excited about the people who, as the numbers who turned out and voted, you know, with some sense, but what's also as equally as frightening are the people, the numbers of people who came out and voted for racism and homophobia and transphobia and misogyny, and how many of those people who voted for these things that were white women. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to use that word. But didn't our motherfuckers learn when you elected Trump? Are you still that brainwashed? Did the Women's March not do anything for y'all? Are you still voting for these people? For real? It's just, I mean, like you said, because I didn't hear the whole thing about this country being a racist country.
Well, that's just me. I mean, it's just.
But we need to stop pussy. Excuse me. I can't get rid of this fucking call. We need to stop pussyfooting around with this issue. We need to call people out and say, like Dylan said, okay, you may not be racist, but racist thinks you are. But even that, do you think it would do any good to come out and say these people are racist? Why are you voting for them? Do you think that would help in any shape, form, or fashion? What do you think we have to do to get people to stop voting for these people? And I'm not talking about the people that are, you know, straight up racist. I mean, I am tired of trying to, you know, go after the economically anxious baggers and the skinheads and all these. But I know there are some good people. I don't know, maybe because I take that back. They aren't good people because they're collaborators.
Well, see, I was gonna renew that call. No collaboration this evening.
They're
I understand there are some instances where people are simply look, we got to keep the government going, right?
Right.
So that's going to require the Senate and the House to reach some level of consensus, because we do want to, you know, we want things like Social Security checks to keep going out. And frankly, while I'm pro peace, I'm not in favor of starving troops.
Right, I'm not in favor. You know, I want my mail to be delivered and picked up. SSDI check, so, you know, my bacon definitely just depends on a third of each month for me to get my direct deposit into my checking account. So I want that stuff, as you said, to keep going. I'm not an anarchist. I don't want the government to shut down. I want a fully functioning government. Half and ever. If there's any a chance to stop this, these motherfuckers in their tracks, I want that too. And I don't think there's too much to ask. I want the ways. Who is it? The head, who's, what is Elijah Cummings the head of now? Is he Ways and Means?
Government oversight.
Government oversight. And Adam Schiff is what?
Intel.
Intel. Okay. I want these people to investigate this man because he's a criminal. Him and his whole family are criminal. They are raping this country. They are making money off of this country. And last time I checked, you know, because I'm not a constitutional lawyer or anything like that. I don't know a lot. I know just enough to be dangerous about the Constitution, but not that much. But I know damn well that this fucker is not supposed to be making money as the off his presidency.
Precisely.
And guess
what is not going to happen now? And this is another one of those things that matters. If you read the Constitution's emoluments clause with regard to the president, the Constitution says, I mean, and we've talked about this in the past, but it bears repeating at this point. The Constitution says that the president shall not accept emoluments, but that at its choosing, the Congress may permit it. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, you can't accept emoluments and then say, hey, Congress, make it okay. Make or at least okay. I would argue you can't. But the Congress can act to make it legal going forward.
Going forward.
So guess what this Democratic House is not going to do?
Make it legal.
Make his violation of the Emoluments Clause legal.
Nope, not going to happen.
And frankly, when it comes right down to it, it's sort of an open and shut case. The federal case that's going forward right now being brought by attorneys general in Maryland and D.C., has been allowed to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a constitutional question. So it's worth, you know, it's worth paying mind to. Tracy, I'm going to run on if you don't mind, because we got other folks jumping in, and you've engendered the conversation.
I just want to know about what you think about the sister that went for Attorney General in New York.
I think that may be the underappreciated cause of a whole lot of turtle squirts in the White House.
Yeah, because she already said, motherfucker, I'm coming. She said, motherfucker, I'm coming after you. I am coming. Everything that you have done in the state of New York, your ass is mine. So, on that note,
like I said, did you see the press conference or any portion of it today?
Oh, his press conference?
Yeah.
I heard some of it, and when he basically said, "I will work with you as long as you don't investigate me." Is that what I heard?
Pretty much. And some other clips as well, but he was whacked out of his mind.
The spiral keeps was on full blown crazy disaster this morning.
Well, like I said on Twitter, we've all heard that phrase, balls to the wall. Well, today Donald Trump was pills to the gills.
Yeah, I didn't, because Jan had it on and I was trying. I was writing letters to people. Oh, speaking of letters, and I'm going to go. I signed up because, you know, how my mental health goes in and out. But back earlier in October, I got this thing from Daily Coast and about, you know, writing letters to people who may or may not vote. And basically the letter was, you know, they gave me a list of people, and you write their names, and it was a form letter, and then you write why you vote, you know, why I have voted. And I basically wrote, and I had just kind of forgot about it. And, you know, and then on the 30th of October, I got an email reminding me, you should send out your letters. And I wasn't going to do it, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So there was five people in North Carolina that I don't know what district it was. I forget. But I wrote five letters to five black women. And basically, I wrote why I vote. And, you know, because my ancestors fought, bled, and died for the right for me to vote. And I'll be damned if I'm not, you know, and whatever. And so, and then, you know, I sign it and all that. And I, and did they have on the bottom of the letter where they sign on to the internet to say whether or not they, you know, got the letter. I don't know if anybody got my letter, if they got them, if they read them or anything like that. But I actually did something, you know, to further people's voting. And I hope that, you know, as we go forward in this next election cycle, that more of us get involved, even if we don't make phone calls, even if we don't knock on doors or whatever, but something, you know, other than contributing money, something tangible, something that puts a face on this election. And it, talking to people, writing letters, even there was one thing that I had to text message people about voting. Just little simple things. And I think in 2020, if we keep this momentum going and going even further, we may have a chance. We just may. So on that note, oh, and let me throw it, who had a challenge going?
Oh, Darlene's got a challenge. Yeah.
How much of it has been met?
45 of it's been met out of 100.
Okay, throw me I'll do 20.
All right, so that's 25 bucks. That's 25 bucks to go, and maybe we can wipe it out before 8 p.m. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Tracy.
Awesome.
By the way, Darlene had a note. By the way, Darlene had a note for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Darlene said, "Here's another one of Tracy's black women with a backbone, and another victory Democrats should take to the bank. Proud to report that Connecticut is sending our first African American woman to the House of Representatives. Former National Teacher of the Year, Joanna Hayes." I met her, I love her, I voted for her. We spent time talking at the local fair this summer. Her enthusiasm is infectious. I told her that I could totally see her in the House, not taking any crap from the white boys, and that we desperately need her to shake things up in Washington. And she is going to Washington.
Nice. Black girl magic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of black girl magic, did you hear about the black women in Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Judges? And they ran under the banner Black Girl Magic.
Yeah, and just as a follow up to that, some bizarreness. One of the nasty old white men who got beat in Texas, one of the juvenile court judges, marched in today and turned loose most of the juvenile detainees.
What?
He asked him, "Do you plan on killing anybody?" And they said, "No, sir." And he turned them loose, most of them.
Most of them. Well, see, I'm hearing, you know what I'm hearing as I'm going to hang up the phone, and I know you have it. If you could get a chance to play it, Sam Cooke's "A Change Is Gonna Come."
Oh, I love it. I love it. But if I play it, the recording won't go up on YouTube, damn it.
Why not? Oh, because... copyright.
Allegedly, you know, fair use is fair use, but yeah.
It's fair use. Oh, yeah, well.
But you can't,
okay.
But you can't argue with an algorithm, and everybody can go and cue that up.
Yes. So just when things get down and we get crazy and we want to give up, and like I'm the queen of giving up. I fight those demons on the real. But I, every so often, when I think about it and I hear a change, I put it on the repeat, a change is going to come. And that is what's going to keep me going for the next 2 years.
Hear, hear, Tracy. So, you have yourself a good evening, dear.
You too, my love. Talk to you later.
Later now. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And so, yeah, that leaves us $25 to go on Darlene's challenge. Please don't leave that on the table. And then after that, that'll be only $198 to come even on this prayer meeting Wednesday where we didn't really pass the plate because, you know, the deacons were pissed off with that gas station pizza. They're going to be even more pissed off later on, trust me. Let's run over to the stress line and see who's on the toll-free number. Hey, welcome to the program. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, it's me, Heather, from Michigan.
Hey, Heather. Congratulations on being a state that came to its senses.
Oh, my God. I didn't know what to think. I was just really happy as far as, you know, keeping Stabenow. She may not be perfect, but my God.
But getting rid of Rick Snyder. Getting rid of Rick Snyder.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes. And as far as Rick Snyder, there's still shit going on that he doesn't want to deal with.
Well, you know, maybe now he can get his ass indicted for Flint.
Yeah, that would be real good. But there's, you know, there are some people that are changing, maybe even some people in my area. I kid you not. I am on cloud. I wouldn't even be able to tell you which number because Fred Upton almost lost last night. When I say almost, it's damn closer than it had ever been, and it was only by about a point. So, you know, there is some decency. There is some changing. It's, you know, I'm used to crazy Fred, but now I'm getting to the point where, you know, maybe one of these days we can get rid of him. I know it sounds horrible of me, but there's something happening, which is good. So,
well, and you probably feel exhausted, Heather.
Oh God, yes, very much so. I'm, and then something else that happened within my own state, but the man that was up for attorney general who was against a lady who is a lesbian finally conceded this morning at 9. Now, mind you, I was doing something last night, and I was doing something on Twitter, and I found somebody who works from NPR, and it's just somebody that works at the Michigan, the NPR station. And she was saying, I'm trying to listen to Dana Nessel, but they're kicking me out. And her speech started with, I don't know if I've won yet, but thank you for supporting me. And it just, I'm pleased about some things. Now, I will say, I did see something on NPR's site. I'm not going to read it because I know it's going to bother me. They were saying that what was her, Stabenow's win is supposedly unsuccessful. They got to look at what she was up against. I mean, really look. The black guy, he says that abortion's black genocide. He got money from some kind of white nationalist I read yesterday sometime. It just, something isn't in that man that was running against her. There were so many things nobody wants. I'm not just the swastika ad. It just, I would like new blood, but I want them to primary her. And I would want somebody maybe of her, of Stabenow's party to primary her to get some new blood in there.
Well, you got, you got a little weight on your hands now, so. But then again, 2020 starts now. Heather, it's good to hear from you, dear. Take a deep breath, and well, look, in times like this, the work never ends. So find somebody you can support and help protect them come 2020.
I will do that.
All right, you take
See
care.
You soon.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Heather calling from up in Michigan. And back over to, and by the way, 5 minutes till 8, an hour and 5 minutes left in the program. Still trying to knock down that last $25 of the of Darlene's post-election challenge. Thank you again, Darlene. And let's go up and talk to, I'll bet it's Flavio. Is it Flavio?
It's me in Wisconsin.
What's happening?
Hey, no.
You're not singing.
I'm not crying.
You're not.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, I mean, I know from a lot of my friends up there that people would like to have had somebody with a lot better progressive bona fides than Tony Evers, but
oh hell, that Scott Walker, that cocksucker is gone.
Precisely.
That's all that matters. Hey, I wanted to tell you. I sent you a link. Andrew Gillum, right? He said, I'm not saying he's a racist. I'm saying that the racists say he's a racist.
Right.
Okay. You know what that is? That's apophasis. Apophasis is the Greek apophemi, to say no. A rhetorical device wherein the speaker or writer brings up a subject by either denying it or denying it that should be brought up. And it can be, accordingly, it can be seen as a rhetorical device relative to irony, rhetorical relative of irony. So it's called, also called paralipsis, preteritio, there's other names for it. But, you know, the most famous one that they had an example in the Wikipedia. In the 1984 presidential campaign debates, Ronald Reagan used a humorous apophasis to deflect scrutiny of his own fitness at age 73 by replying, "I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I'm not going to exploit for political purpose my opponent's youth and inexperience."
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. I like studying this stuff because it matters.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
It is. So that's why I said when I emailed you, I said, that's Ciceronian. Because Cicero used apophasis.
You know, I have to confess, I've been, and from a historical standpoint, I'm not a big Cicero fan because I think there's an argument to be made that Cicero
was a fascist.
Well, and engaged. I mean, eventually he was exiled for executing Roman citizens without the legal right to do so. And
he was a fascist. He was.
Well, yeah, but there's also that quote, and I find myself. I went and looked it up again today as I watched the madness of King Don.
Oh God, I could only stand like 3 minutes of it, and I just said. No.
And if we're going to throw classical language at each other, then there's this. Quo usque tandem abure Catalina patientia nostra.
Yeah.
I mean, do you recognize that?
Yeah.
That's from the On Cataline.
Catalinian Orations Contra Catilina.
Yeah. How long?
How long will you try my patience?
How long, O Cataline, will you abuse our patience? And meanwhile, if you here's a pretty case of fascism. CNN's
Jim Acosta.
Yeah, Jim Acosta has been charged with assault by the White House.
Oh, no way.
And they've suspended his credentials and banned him from the White House grounds after a White House staffer came after him to try to snatch the microphone out of his hands when
which
he was trying.
Saw.
Yeah, which everybody saw. I mean, let's. Oh, God. I mean, you're here with me. We may just as well run the clip. Oh, by the way, Darlene's challenge just got met courtesy of Chris, who's not in Germany. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very, very kindly. And our buddy Jim, or our buddy Glenn, jumped in, and so did Arthur. And so that means that we've only got $185 to finish the night, which is freaking awesome. So thank you to Chris, and thank you to Glenn, and thank you to Arthur. Thank you very much indeed, and thank you to Darlene for the challenge. I've got, let's see, let me get the audio here, and we'll share it and talk about it a little bit. This was cringeworthy, okay? This was just embarrassing. Sam Donaldson yelled things at Geezer Disgustus, I mean at Ronnie Reagan, that were far, far more challenging than what happened between Acosta and Julius Geezer. I mean, this was the damnedest thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I really like Peter Alexander stepping up to the plate and defending his fellow journalist.
Yeah, and then if everybody else would have walked out, it might have made a difference.
It might have made a difference.
But the problem is there were too many maggots in the room who would have sat there and continued, since we're using the word, would have sat there and continued to be a lick spittle to Donald Trump. And just in case you're curious, and if no one's curious, if you're not.
No, that's true.
One of my theses has been that we have a bigger Nazi problem in this country than we are willing, most of us in this country, to confess. Witness case in point. Yamiche Alcindor, who got accused of being a black woman who got accused of being a racist today by Donald Trump, pointed out that a vile creep by the name of Patrick Casey tweeted today, Evropa, you know, because they use that V instead of the U because they're fucking idiots and they're Nazis and fascists. Identity Europa, identified as a neo-Nazi hate group, he tweeted, Evropa has landed at the White House. So on the day after this election, a real live, no kidding, not joking, alt-right, neo-fucking-Nazi was invited to the White House of the United States of America. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that might be important.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go to the thing today, because it wasn't a press conference. This wasn't anything that any civilized country would recognize as an interplay of ideas between a political leader and a free press.
No.
This is what led to Jim Acosta being charged with assault and banned from the White House.
Miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly.
Okay, so the setup to the exchange. Why did you call the Scaravan an invasion? They're not here. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And that caused the pill head in chief to lose it.
Miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, Mr. President, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that... That you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat CNN.
Can I simply point out that it would have been entirely okay if Jim Acosta had said, well, you're a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
But let's, so Peter King follows.
Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Peter. In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either. So
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can.
You aren't the best,
Mr. President. You repeatedly, over the course
of. Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, when you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead,
Mr. President.
You know what, Flavio?
Yeah. I'm here.
The man should be impeached and removed from office for that transaction alone.
For that alone, yeah. That was
I mean, that's chilling. This is like the 15th time I've seen this, and my blood pressure goes up every time, and I realize, it's like in-your-face realization that this is what, I mean, my parents tried to prepare me. I came from World War II parents. My father fought in World War II, and I was raised on this stuff. I was raised on how evil fascism was. And sort of taught to recognize it when I see it. It's just that my parents were just middle class.
I had a grandfather who fought in World War II.
Yeah, and so you see it here in the United States of America, and all of a sudden, we're back to... We're back to our buddy Cicero. Quos quitandem abutera, Trump, patientia nostra.
And the thing is, I wish there had been someone in the room and say, no, you're a public servant. You answer to us, motherfucker.
Precisely.
You're a public servant. You answer to us.
It's chilling. Yeah. It is absolutely chilling.
Nobody said that. And that's what I'd like to see one of these days. Somebody just turn around and just say, uh-uh, you're a public servant. You answer to us, motherfucker. And that, it might get the person booted out of the room, but it would sure make the point. And, but I get exasperated because they don't teach that kind of civics anymore. I don't even see that in schools, or because I tried teaching for a while and I kind of got discouraged from what I saw. But that's one of the things I found missing. They don't teach civics anymore. Government, civics, whatever you want to call it, in the schools. And whether you live in France or the United States or even Brazil, where I'm from, that was one of the things that they taught us in school, how government's supposed to work, how a democracy's supposed to work.
It's a conservative.
Sorry. Yeah, and no more.
They don't do that anymore. And so you have these people that, listen to Fox all day and think that's gospel, where anybody that had a rudiment of civics education in school would look at that and go, that's state radio run television. That's stuff you see in totalitarian regimes. You know?
Well, and someone pointed out that this is the sort of thing that they do in Russia. Only the next step in Russia is that Jim Acosta one morning wakes up all dead.
Exactly.
Because he has offended the God Emperor Putin.
And I'm not. We're the same cohort, more or less. And we remember what that was like, Russia, under, you know, the
yeah.
communist regime, and you know how you know, I mean, Solzhenitsyn. I read the Gulag Archipelago.
Yeah, chilling. And of course, Randy in PA points out Trump could be dribbling oatmeal and the maggots would still support him. See, all over the country now, there's about 35% of this country is like, goddamn right, ought to take him out and whip his ass. Being disrespectful for the president. How dare he tell a great man like Donald Trump that caravan ain't an invasion. But this wasn't the only one. He attacked Yamiche Alcindor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick up just a little bit more of the exchange.
Yeah.
Which CNN does a lot. You are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
Mr. President, over the course of the last several days of the campaign, sir, at the end of the campaign, you repeatedly said that Americans need to fear Democrats. You said Democrats would unleash a wave of violent crime that endangers families everywhere. Why are you
because
pitting
very
Americans?
Weak on crime.
Why
Excuse
are you
me.
Pitting Americans
Peter.
Against one another, sir?
Peter, what are you trying to be him?
No,
Peter,
I'm just asking the question.
Let me just tell you. Very simple. Because they're very weak on crime. Because they have often suggested, members and people within the Democrat Party at a high level have suggested getting rid of ICE, getting rid of law enforcement. That's not going to happen, okay? We want to be strong on the borders. We want to be strong on law enforcement. And I want to cherish ICE because ICE does a fantastic job. The what they do for us is so really, it's so unrecognized how good a job they do.
You know, when they're putting the children in cages in concentration camps and setting up North American versions of Gaza in the West Texas goddamn desert. You know, you talk about people not learning civics, Flavio. This is people not learning civics. Donald Trump, you know, Dunning-Kruger effect, doesn't know what he doesn't know. And one of the things that he doesn't know is that the House of Representatives constitutionally controls the goddamn purse strings. And so, you know, keep on poking, Donnie, and ICE won't have a goddamn budget at all.
Exactly.
Or at least not in a... not in a just world. By the way, David in South Carolina, Flavio says, you know who Donald Trump sounds exactly like? Go watch a film of Jim Jones taken from the time close to that final weekend. The tone of voice,
oh, yeah.
Everything is right there.
Oh my God, yeah. That was at 1977.
Yeah,
I think it was in Brazil at the time. Still,
meanwhile, one of his close coterie of collaborators, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, just tweeted: President Trump believes in a free press and expects and welcomes tough questions of him and his administration. We will, however, never tolerate a reporter placing his hands on a young woman just trying to do her job as a White House intern. It's on fucking film. He didn't touch her. On the other hand, if the president wants to grab her by the, well, you know, the maggots will just, they'll be more excited to vote for him. Jesus, this man.
Oh, it's beyond the pale.
But the thing is, as they pointed out over on My Filthy Little Habit, the former Republican congressman from Florida noted that he ain't looking real good. And there's a really, really gross photograph out there of something that some wag referred to as his vaginek. And without going into too great a detail, his neck gets all gathered up when he buttons his shirt. And it looks surprisingly like a, pardon the national reference there, but a Brazilian waxed vagina.
Wow.
He's not a well man. And as Robert in Australia points out, Trump thinks he's the goddamn king, only I added the goddamn.
Well, yeah, that's very dangerous, but can we talk about something hopeful?
You're welcome to try.
We'll try. I actually liked the... I was watching on the BBC. I saw the entirety of Nancy Pelosi's elocution on the BBC.
Right.
Because it was played in its entirety. Did you see that?
I admit I caught the front end of it, but I got caught up in more work. I mean, and frankly, I was not in a good place after watching this.
No, right. That's kind of what brought me back down to earth. Because listening to her, I felt comforted.
Well, like you were listening to an adult?
Yeah. It was like, wow. And she wasn't reading from a teleprompter. She was surveying the room and in very measured tones, saying what was going to, you know, what was going to go on, you know, what's going to happen from now on. And just the poise and the control. I needed that. You know, they of course, the press only played the snippets. Oh, you know, we're going to work for bipartisanship. And then the Purity Brigade is probably going to say, oh, no. But they didn't listen to the entire speech.
Well, and I get that, and that's part of why I didn't spend a lot of time with it.
Because if you listen to the entire speech, that was a very good...
She's solid. She's solid. She does the job well.
That was an
in-your-face. And that's one of the reasons.
We're coming for you. We're coming for you, Mark.
But to be honest, that's one of the reasons that although I went and I voted for him, and a lot of people were seduced into thinking he was some kind of progressive that he wasn't, that's one of the reasons that, you know, his commercial where he said, I'm Richard Ojeda, and when I go to Washington, I'll tell that Nancy Pelosi to fuck right the fuck off. And I heard a certain progressive announcer say, well, you know, that's okay for him to say that. I mean, and all it was falling prey to the baited field that the goddamn Republicans were hunting over. And so it would have been nice not to have an idiot like Carol Miller in the Congress. But hey, she's part of the minority, and she doesn't have any power, and nobody has to pay any attention to her. Just like we don't have to pay attention to any of these goddamn maggots in the House. Nobody has to. Steve King got returned in his district in Iowa, but nobody has to pay attention to him. Louis Gohmert. Nobody has to pay attention to him. They're ciphers. They're goddamn nothings. Because the Republicans certainly didn't do much in the way of paying attention to the minority in the House, did they? And remember, the last time Nancy Pelosi had the Speaker's gavel, she got shit done. They passed out of the House. They passed employee free choice. And it went over to the Senate, and it died because Democrats like Blanche Lincoln and, who was the guy from Ben Nelson from Nebraska said, well, you know, we're in an economic downturn, and we can't be mean to Walmart just right now. So, but she got shit done. And bills will be passed out of the House. And hopefully the Purity Brigade won't sit there and say, well, goddamn Democrats ain't getting nothing done when Mitch McConnell kills every fucking thing that that goes across the building.
No, the task will be to keep the memory up, you know, to remind people when 2020 comes around who was the obstructionist.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's the task of the media, but also the task of politicians to continually remind people that, you know, this is what we're up against.
Well, and it like I said, if there was some sort of a low-grade uprising in the Senate that ditched Chuck Schumer, I would shed not a single tear.
Oh, me neither.
Let's see. Let me share a couple of emails along the way. Speaking of Merkin Nazis, Irish Dave says, the T-Rump of the Will, fully ignorant rally with the orange leader and air cover provided by Air Marshal Rush of the Limp Waffle and Baby Sean, was held with background music by the Steve Miller Bund. If only Acosta had quoted Rodney King when he said, can't we all just try to get along? You know, Jim Jones got his start. Jim Jones got his start as a fundamental preacher in Crawfordsville of Talibandiana. Now, let's see. Lee in New York. The Daily Show gets credit for the vagina neck photo. Okay, thank you, Lee. And Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm hearing fear under that angry voice from Trump. As much as he's bloviating about his victory last night, it's bullshit. He's scared because the Dems took the House and will be going after him. Fear equals loss of control, and he can't handle that, so it turns to voracious anger and vituperation. Exactly. And, you know, something I was thinking as I was watching the madness was that if Hunter S. Thompson had scripted that shit, Hunter S. Thompson would have wadded it up and thrown it in the can and said, that's too crazy even for me, man. They won't print it. But it was pretty obvious to me that if we're going to use Hunter S. Thompson in this, that he was already seeing the bats. Trump was. You remember? I wasn't going to mention the bats. Poor bastard would see them soon enough. Trump's seeing the bats. Without a doubt. And he is, for him to be able to stand there like that for that long, they had to have him medicated out of his mind.
Yeah, that was not a pretty sight.
But I watched that thing thinking, and the reason I thought of Hunter S. Thompson is, you know, if there's some sort of great beyond, Hunter S. Thompson's sitting there going, you know, maybe I shouldn't have killed myself. Maybe I should have stuck around for this. And I thought Nixon was bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. Well, Flavio, it's been a great conversation. Thank you for bringing the classical reference.
Let other people get on, and it was great to hear you again. And, it's a new day, and let's cherish the moment.
And one last question. As of last night, what's the breakout? What kind of a legislature does Tony Evers have to work with?
We still have a majority Republican assembly and Senate.
Any progress made on that?
Not that I heard. I guess there might be some recounting or something like that, but I was on Journal Sentinel online today and it didn't look good. But again, it's because of the gerrymandering. And, you know, the Democrats retain their seats, okay? The Democrats that we have, you know. But Peter Barca and, you know, some others. But for the most part, it's still gerrymandered. And it was hard to overcome. The Republicans.
Well, and there, you know, there are other problems that exist because to paraphrase and very nearly quote my good friend Bruce, who somewhere in the great beyond or not is sitting there shouting and screaming, Bruce would drive me around Wisconsin, and he'd say, "Now see," and he'd point out a big, you know, the farms in Wisconsin are just fucking beautiful. And there'd be a Republican sign in the driveway and say, "Now see there, Bob, see there? There's another one of those damned Wisconsin farmers that thinks he's wealthy enough to be a Republican."
That's true.
And that problem still exists.
That's true. There's still a lot of those around.
Oh, and just on an entirely separate note, there's a little diner kind of place not too far from here. They shut down for a while, and then they opened up as a different name. And I'm proud to tell you, Flavio, they have the best cheese curds I've ever eaten outside the state of Wisconsin.
No way.
Way. Oh my God, they squeak like an unoiled door hinge.
Did you get that? No way?
Yes. No way. Yes. Yeah. You bring your A game, Flavio, but yeah, they squeak like an unoiled door hinge, and I mean, they're good.
Oh.
They're not as good as anything you can get in Wisconsin, but they're better than anything I've ever had outside of Wisconsin. And the fact that cheese curds are slowly making it into the hills and hollers of West Virginia, that's a good thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And a nice, apparently, it's an Italian family that does it, that's running it, and they serve up a mean, warm marinara to go with the cheese curds.
Oof. Now you're making me hungry.
Yeah, I know. But we gotta have some food porn along the way. It's not always got to be me and Todd. I mean, you know, there's...
I'm gonna put this frozen pizza in the oven.
I'm gonna have to learn to be a fisherman because I've heard that there are walleye in Somersville Lake, and I guess that's the only way I'm gonna get walleye short of going to Wisconsin. Because I love me some walleye.
If you ever get a chance, I don't know if they have that out there, but there's a Chicago company that makes this pizza. Have you heard of Home Run Inn?
No.
And it's actually from Chicago. The company is from Chicago.
Is it Chicago-style pizza, that casserole that masquerades as pizza?
No, it's not like that. It's a company that actually makes frozen pizzas that had a restaurant in Chicago. And then they started making pizzas, you know, and freezing them. It's called Home Run Inn. And
well, I'll take a look around and see if it's available and try it on your recommendation.
Yeah, you probably can find it at your Kroger's or what do you have out there?
Kroger. I'll look and see. And now, of course, because I've insulted the honor of Chicago style pizza, I'll get hate mail. I should learn. I can't learn.
No, but there is some really toxic stuff that, you know, masquerades as deep dish, and they don't know what they're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Pizza casserole.
Pizzeria Uno.
They're
awful, and they're heavy in sodium too, so I can't have that poison.
Yeah, you got to watch that stuff. Flavio, have yourself a great evening, my friend. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
All right, take care.
Have a great evening.
Bye now. The one and only Flavio calling from Wisconsin, and let's go and check in on the stress line with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Let me start by channeling a brief scene in the 1968 classic The Producers, starring Zero Mostel and Gene Wilder and a host of others. Imagine, if you will, a desk piled high with congratulatory telegrams, okay? Max Bialystock is behind the desk addressing Leo Bloom as accountant, now partner, the morning after Springtime for Hitler has premiered. Congratulations. Whereupon Roger Dupree, the flamboyant director, bursts into the door and says, "Congratulations!" let us revel in the moment. Come on. Yeah, and the congratulations is for last night, but also you and Tracy conjured me because she was wondering what my take on all this was. Where shall I begin? I have a brief.
As of last night, I would have begun with the vodka bottle and the big jar of olives, but you know.
Well, let me give just.
Did you make even one martini last night?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I didn't want any of my senses to be dulled. All right, let's look at the list, the abbreviated list. Democrats now will control the House. Huge gains across the country. Several candidates will make history when they're sworn in. The first two Muslim women, the first two Native American lawmakers, a record number of women overall. And a handful of Donald Trump's allies in the House are now unemployed. And even some Republican winners, I'm thinking,
Duncan Hunter.
And Duncan Hunter. And Collins, was that his name up in New York State, I think it was?
Yeah, I think so.
They may be facing prison, okay? And then if you want to move away from Congress, the Democrats gained control of governor's mansions in places like Michigan, Wisconsin, bye-bye, Scott Walker, Nevada, even Kansas. Ballot measures, minimum wage, voting rights for felons, non-discrimination protections for the transgender community, and legalized ethan pot passed with overwhelming support in some unlikely places. I mean, if that doesn't make your heart pound like a zebra tap dancing on a fresh plate of lemon jello, I don't know what does. So congratulations, people. And could it have been better? Yeah, it can always be better. But, man, I'll take any goodness that's bestowed upon me and be thankful because it only whets my appetite for more. So that's my preamble. Am I pretty close to being on base?
Yeah. You're not. You haven't reached the far left wingosphere or anything.
Well, I'm not going there. I mean, there are things that I'm far left about, but I'm not going to go into them because it's not productive. If the object of the exercise is to create a future that works positively and responsibly for us all and to behave in a manner consistent with that goal, then I think we did quite well. We got a nice start last night. And then the icing and the sprinkles on top of the cake. And I haven't seen the press conference because I slept in a little bit today. I'm going to watch it tonight. But the icing on the cake is Trump. I recall Nixon in the waning days of his trials and tribulations vis-a-vis Watergate, was drunk on scotch and pills, wandering up and down the hallways of the White House, engaging in conversation with portraits of dead presidents.
Yes.
You know,
as I watched today, Scott, you know, I've predicted at some point in time he's just going to start tearing his clothes off. Okay, it being Wednesday and all, you'll be familiar with this clip. Stand by just a second.
All right.
And he said, "It's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord."
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Okay, so we all remember that, right?
Yeah.
That comes from a movie called The Dream Team.
I remember that movie. I remember that scene.
And in that scene, he was a former ad executive, and he just cracked and has this proclivity for taking off his clothes. And so he's standing there, he's wandered into an African American church, and he's preaching and bringing the testimony, and you can hear in the sound effects in the clip of him removing his clothing. And he's about all the way, he's about down to his boxers when the line comes, "Stop, this man is clinically insane."
Well,
I would not have, the day is coming, Scott, the day is coming when Donald Trump is just going to start tearing his clothes off in public.
And, you know, let me make it clear, Bob, that I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I take no pleasure, really. I mean, true pleasure. I take no true pleasure in the misery of other people. But there are exceptions to that otherwise hard and fast rule. And that the episode with Jim Acosta today, which I, based on what I heard from your description and the clip, I'm looking forward to watching that unfold on my big old TV set. Because a couple of weeks ago, when HBO premiered it, I watched The Post, the movie about supposedly the Pentagon Papers, but it was more about the newspapers than the Pentagon Papers, starring Meryl Streep as Catherine Graham and Tom Hanks as Ben Bradley. And it was a pretty good movie, okay? I was okay with it because I remember the history of it, so I know where they missed. But the thing was, there was a moment in the film where Nixon demanded the barring of any reporter, even a photographer from the Washington Post, from the executive mansion. And he threatened to fire anybody who messed up on that task. What is to prevent Trump from banning credentials to some of these people? Or does he like the drama? I think on some level he likes the drama.
Well, look, Scott, not to, you know, I don't mean to sound... Everybody says, oh, you know, The Apprentice, reality television. Fuck, no. All of this shit is running according to a script for an episode of an entire four-season run of the WWE. This is a guy who hit people with folding chairs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all predictable. And given the state of things last night, from Trump's point of view, I'm surprised he had as much composure as he had. Because, let me tell you, the cheese is beginning to wobble. And when I say the cheese is beginning to wobble, at some point in hopefully the not-too-distant future, his cheese will have slidden off of his cracker. Okay?
Slidden? Wait a minute. Do we have a new word here?
Yeah, I don't know. But at some point, his cheese will have slided? No, it's not slided. Come on, you're the knower of
words. Slid.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. This is why I was never an English major or minor and barely made it through high school English. And punctuation escapes me. If you ever look at my posts on Facebook, you'll know that I'm highly creative in the area of punctuation. But I predict, and it doesn't, you don't have to be a guy in your tattered robe, okay, with the glow-in-the-dark appliques to know this, that at some point in the not-too-distant future, he will break bad. He will go off the twig. And whatever other euphemism you want to use for lose his shit. And we'll begin to see, some won't see, or some may see but not acknowledge, but it will become readily apparent to anybody who's paying any attention at all with an open mind and open eyes, just what a fragile personality we're dealing with. Okay? And remember, back during the run-up to the election, I mentioned to people, I said, people, there are two things that will get his goat more quickly than anything else, given his state as a narcissist: to make fun of him, or ridicule him, or to make him look bad. And that's pretty much, I mean, Jim Acosta, from what I gather, was trying to get attention, not attention, but answer to a serious question. Trump took it as an attack, as he always does with people he doesn't like to hear from. So, you know, just, I don't know that there's a countdown clock app for this, but as things heat up, all the help that he got from Roy Cohn in his Trump's formative years as a public figure will not serve him. As a matter of fact, they will hurt him, because it's never complain, never explain, never apologize was the Roy Cohn mantra. And that will not serve him, because he needs an outlet. He needs a valve to let off the steam. And he doesn't know how to do it appropriately and productively and what, you know, like intelligently. He goes for the lowest way that you can do it, the easy way. And we will see, you know, it will not be pretty, but it will be necessary. It will be necessary. So anyway, that's my take, my general take. Specifically, I was quite happy. I was sad about Beto not beating Ted Cruz. I was sad about Gillum not becoming the governor of Florida. And I was sad, of course, that we didn't capture the Senate. Although, there are
Wait. Time out, Scott.
All right.
How sad can you be that we didn't capture the Senate when the odds of capturing the Senate were like 1,000 to 1?
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
That's like being sad you didn't win the Powerball.
I wasn't expecting it, so I had no expectations for it. Therefore, it's hard to be disappointed or sad in that circumstance. But the positive thing is there are, what, 6 or 7 House races still to be decided, and 2 or 3 Senate races still to be decided. You know, the proverbial rotund woman has not sung. And I mean, it's hard not to be happy, although I'm sure a number of people will find excuses not to be happy, because they're like children on Christmas morning with the tree beautifully lit and decorated and massive piles of presents under the tree, all manner of glorious presents. Their stockings are chock full, crammed, jammed with fruit and nuts and candies and little toys, but they didn't get that one particular thing from old Saint Nick that was at the top of their list. Now, never mind that they got a shit pot of goodies.
No, I know. I always think back to Lucy in Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown.
Okay.
I never get what I want. Well, what do you want, Lucy? Yeah. Real estate.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I'm happy. Am I satisfied? Hell no. I won't be satisfied until the Supreme Court is packed with liberals, the House and the Senate are controlled by Democrats, and we've got a dynamic, youthful, effective, responsible Democratic president in the White House. And even then, I may not be satisfied. Because I do have aspects of being like that kid on Christmas morning.
Well, yeah, and you know, just look. I think you're taking the right attitude. We need, nothing's going to happen overnight, and even though we live in a culture that is predicated entirely on instant gratification, we've got to resist the urge to think that that's going to happen. There's reason to think that that he's coming for Mueller now. The guy that he appointed, or the guy who will be the interim, it's like Harry Potter.
Jeffy has gotten socks.
You know, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Turd is now free. And this clown, who, by the way, it really is a clown, okay? He's not even a good lawyer.
Now, is this the acting attorney general?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, tell me more about him, because I really know nothing about him.
Oh, Jesus, what a schmuck.
He's a bald-headed stooge. I did detect that from the photograph.
Well, let's start with the fact that he's written an op-ed calling Robert Mueller everything but a human being. Let's start with the fact that federal judge Amy Berman Jackson heard all of his arguments for why Mueller's actions are illegal and ruled that it was all so much bullshit. Okay.
See, that's what I like. Responsible judges.
They are nice. And then there's his former job, this Matt Whitaker. Now, usually a deputy attorney general who becomes attorney general, there's some sort of a chain of command. But this guy just sort of fell into it. As recently as July 1st, 2014, he was the chairman of the campaign of Sam Clovis, you might remember that name, for mm-hmm. treasurer of the state of Iowa.
No.
Back in 2014, he said, "During the course of my run for the U.S. Senate seat, I gained many wonderful rewards. One of the greatest of those rewards was becoming great friends with Matt Whitaker. Matt and I found that we had a great deal in common and shared a strong faith in God and an unabashed love of nation. Thus, when the opportunity came for me to have my name placed on the ballot as the Republican nominee for treasurer of state, Matt became the logical person to chair my campaign committee." So Clovis was himself dirty. Okay, and wrapped up mm-hmm. in things that Mueller is investigating. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Whitaker was tapped for the job with almost deus ex machina determination.
What does that mean? I'm rusty on my Latin.
When something was happening in a piece of Greek theater, there would be a crane with a god on it that would swing out, and that was the device they used to solve plot problems they couldn't otherwise solve.
Yeah, okay.
So now we go to CNN in 2017, and here's Matt Whitaker.
What happened here is this lawyer used a pretext to get a meeting with, you know, some important campaign officials to really talk about the issue she wanted to talk to, which was getting rid of this U.S. policy regarding adoptions, and used the, you know, a quite frankly, here in Iowa, we'd call it a BS excuse of saying that she had opposition research. And listen, nobody's talking about what that opposition research is, because we all agree it's ludicrous. I mean, that the fact that Russians are funding the DNC and, helping Hillary Clinton, no one's advancing that. And Don Jr., when he heard that, certainly dismissed it quickly as based on what he said. And I think, you know, sort of to suggest that there's a conspiracy here, I mean, you would always take that meeting. You would have somebody from your campaign
take the meeting
to try to get the information.
Yeah, you'd always take that meeting to conspire with a foreign power, even though it's against the fucking law. This is the guy who is temporarily replacing, you know, Beauregard.
Yeah, well, he's replacing Sessions, and he now is replacing, for all intents and purposes, Rod Rosenstein, because now
Right, because he allegedly won't have a conflict, but he was counsel to fucking Sam Clovis, so yes, he does.
Well, I mean, it's a rule of thumb. They all have conflicts. Every last one of them. I mean, that's like an item on the resume that you must have in order to be considered.
So,
And one of the unfortunate aspects...
By the way, and just in case you're wondering, he is also a former... no, not kidding. Hot tub salesman.
Oh, dear.
Don't you wish sometimes that I was just making shit up?
Well, that's the thing. If you're looking for a qualified candidate for the highest law enforcement agency in the nation, you definitely want them on the resume somewhere to have an entry about hot tub sales. God help us. My God. Pardon me. I've got Tracy's cough. And oh, by the way, Tracy, the tune you mentioned by Sam Cooke, you and Bob both, A Change is going to come, and there's another one, Lift Every Voice and Sing. I cannot hear those without smiling and also crying. Well, there's something about those tunes that resonate with me on a level I don't need to be too emotional, but I'm tearing up a little just thinking about the song. So that gives you a rough idea of how, you know, their effect on me. Mercy. But did I do okay?
Yeah, no.
I never know when I'm rambling and when I'm, you know, performing adequately.
No, you're fine. And as to the hot tub sales, it was for a scammer.
For what?
It was a
scam.
Yeah.
Oh no.
There was a patents scam, and the firm was paying Whitaker as an advisor, and Whitaker sent threatening emails to the victim of the patent scam that his client was running. The federal government had to sue the firm, and a court ordered them to pay $26 million. And that was 6 months ago, and somehow this guy is going to be the interim AG?
Well, wait a minute. Did he not have some sort of position already? Or did they bring him in off the street?
I'm not seeing here that he's not a deputy AG. Irish Dave pointing out he's Jefferson Blowhard the Third's chief of staff. He's not a ratified member of, or he's not... A confirmed.
Is he a lawyer?
He's a lawyer, but he's not been confirmed by the Senate.
Well,
not that that's going to matter to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
No.
This guy, he was named hours ago, and my God, there are reams of information about this freak already, among other things. He has declared, in regard to the federal judiciary, he said, if they have a secular worldview, then I'm going to be very concerned about how they judge. Natural law oftentimes is used from the eye of the beholder. And what I would like to see, I'd like to see things like their worldview. What informs them? Are they people of faith? Do they have a biblical point of view of justice? Which I think is very important, because we all know that our government, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, I'm a New Testament. And what I know is, as long as they have that worldview, that they'll be a good judge. And if they have a secular worldview where this is all we have here on earth, then I'm going to be very concerned about that judge. He's a fucking... So not only is he a con artist associated with a hot tub scam, he's, well, a Christian. A theocratic, evangelical Christian.
Yeah, probably a dominionist. You know what it immediately puts me in mind of as you describe his background? And you're familiar with the three Godfather movies, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Didn't care for and three, but that's neither here nor there.
I forget whether it's Godfather 1 or the Godfather 2, but there's a scene where one of Corleone's henchmen is testifying before a committee in the House or the Senate or something. And he's a dark-haired fellow, rather swarthy-looking, with a little, you know, pimp mustache. And I forget the character's name, but when he talks about, you know, whether Michael Corleone had firsthand knowledge or activities, gave the okay for a hit, you know, was there that direct connection? And whoever the character is says, well, there was a buffer. There was a buffer, Senator, a buffer. You know, and you know, that's New York East for buffer. And that's really what Trump is up to here. He's got himself a buffer. Is that pretty close?
Well, a buffer or a fluffer, I mean, you know.
No, wait a minute. we went the whole show without mentioning penises.
I kind of at least leaned toward the gutter early on when I pointed out that Nevada sent a dead pimp to the state house, and we've got a live John in the White House.
Yeah, well, that's true. You did sort of.
But no, this is weird, and it's a civics moment, and because the Justice Department, you know, they made the announcement today that Rod Rosenstein no longer had oversight of the of Mueller's investigation.
Yeah.
The quote says, "Acting Attorney General is in charge of all matters under the purview of the Department of Justice." How can you be the acting attorney general if you're just being elevated from being a chief of fucking staff?
Well, it's distressing that Rosenstein is out of the picture, okay? It's further distressing that Trump has essentially installed a flunky, and I think that's the correct word, a flunky, to become acting attorney general or interim attorney general, whatever description you want to use for the name of the job. He is not the right person for the requirements of the job. But for Trump's purposes, he's perfectly suited for the job.
Well, there you go.
I mean, so... And then if enough stuff comes out about the guy, what can be done? Well, nothing, because the Senate would have oversight over anything.
Well, I mean, this guy remains unconfirmed. And like I said, it's not a problem to get him confirmed because, well, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that you still have to sort of nod toward the process. Mitch can't just say, well, we're going to forego the confirmation hearing and fuck it. Who needs the Constitution anyway?
Yeah. And see,
the reason this happens so goddamn fast is because there is, you know, Mueller's investigation does not leak. But there are a lot of people, pro and con Trump, who have this foreboding, or at least sense, that there's going to be a bunch of indictments drop in the next few days, and one of them's going to be Don Jr. And this guy demonstrated good fascist loyalty by saying that it wasn't a crime what Don Jr. did.
Yeah. Well, and that begs this question. Is the clock now ticking regarding Mueller? I mean, not regarding what he'll do next, but regarding whether he'll be there to do something next. I mean, how concerned need we be?
No, there's reason for a great deal of concern. You know, Randy in PA just wrote a minute ago and said, last night's election brought me in from the ledge. Today's news puts me back out on it.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Look, today's, I hesitate to call that thing a press conference. Today's shenanigan, today's harangue made it clear that he is not in charge of his faculties and that no one is in charge of him. And so consequently, yeah, the shit's about to hit the fan. And there's not a goddamn thing that any Democrat can do about it until January. So he's got a window of opportunity. And remember, the holiday season is now approaching, Scott.
Otherwise known
as the time of year when nothing gets done in government.
Right. And here's the deal, Bob. I mean, and it is just like Trump, a petty, vindictive, sour, mean-spirited schmuck of a guy who will not allow us even half a day to bask in last night's wins. Because it's not in his nature to be that way. He's petty. He's vindictive. Oh, he's a horror.
And he is combative. You know, Steve from Georgia Stan noted a few minutes ago when I mentioned the WWE. Steve said, funny you would mention that. He said, let me find it here. When I was watching the press conference today, my first thought was this is like a WWE interview. And that's because it is.
Well, and remember, in the run-up to the election, another thing that I said, in addition to Trump not liking ridicule and not liking being made fun of and not liking being made to look bad, another pillar in his so-called personality is he's like a rat. Have you ever seen a rat get up on its hind legs, especially if it's been cornered?
Yeah.
Rats can be quite vicious and defensive, and they can fight, okay? That's one of the other things that I made a warning about. There will come a time when he will be cornered, and you can corner a man who works in an Oval Office. It happened with Nixon. Okay, he will be cornered, and he will engage in rat-like tactics and tendencies because it's in his nature. So,
hey, Scott, I hate to do it, but we're over time, and I got to get out of here. But
okay.
We will talk soon. Thanks again, my friend.
All right, take care of you, and congratulations to all the Horn family for your hard work voting and being informed and engaging people in the process, because it made a fucking difference.
Yes, it did. Thank you, my friend. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
And so we come to the end of the program. We will wrap up come tomorrow. We will have a $385 fundraising goal. Thank you, one and all, for all you do to keep the program on the air. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks so very much to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Pinch Hit Midweek Utility Chat Room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live, on hiatus at the moment. Quite possibly the horn was heard over the North Pole this evening, I'm told. And thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.